Pittsburgh Works, and with me in the studio right now is former Senator John Pippy, who is now the CEO of the Pennsylvania Coal Alliance. Senator, welcome to KDKA.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for making time for us. I want to talk to you about what you're doing at the Pennsylvania Coal Alliance. First of all, exactly what is the Pennsylvania Coal Alliance?
Well, the Pennsylvania Coal Alliance is the trade organization that represents over 250 companies and over 40,000 employees who are either mine the coal, do the engineering, provide the services, they're the vendors. And we have a very, very strong organization. Coal has about a $7 billion impact in Pennsylvania's economy. These are very good jobs. The average coal miner is anywhere from $70,000 to $80,000 a year. And so they're family-sustaining type jobs. There's a lot of communities out here whose livelihood is based on either that mine or that large company.
Absolutely. And there is a big issue right now with coal, and obviously, whether it's the regulations coming from Washington, and there's also another angle that has been difficult for coal, too, is the issue of natural gas. So you guys are kind of like getting pressure from both sides on this one, aren't you?
Right. And the natural gas issue is a cyclic one. When the economy's bad, and there's a surplus of natural gas. The cost of natural gas is at its lowest ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's around 2.5 MCF. And at that level, it's very competitive with coal. So the power producers will switch based on, whatever's cheaper at that moment. But when the economy starts to come back, which it will, you will see natural gas prices go back up to anywhere from 4 to 6 MCF, twice as much as what they're now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll see coal come back again and continue to be one of the largest base providers of electric generation. We've always had that. It's been cyclic. Good weather, bad weather, all different things happen.
Mm-hmm.
The challenges we're having right now and why you're hearing the term war on coal is because the regulations that have been put in place and the policies that have been implemented over the last 3 years have put us into a position where coal cannot exist under the current regulations that are being recommended by this administration.
Or is it because the expectations for how clean the coal is going to be are just unreasonable at this point, that we're expecting you to do something or the coal industry to do something that really can't be done, or it's beyond what needs to be done to ensure a safe living environment?
It's significantly beyond what needs to be done.
Okay.
CO2 carbon capture, that's the one that's really going to hit us the hardest, and it just doesn't make sense. I'm an environmental engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Coal is a large contributor, all fossil fuels, to CO2, and actually natural gas and others contribute to methane, which is 20% more reactive in the atmosphere. But they're all part of a mix. However, if you look at the coal usage around the world, the U.S. is not the largest user. As a matter of fact, we're dwarfed by China, by India. Europe is starting to Germany now has gone away from green fuels back to coal because it makes sense financially during hard economic times.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking to control carbon emissions, you're going to shut down an industry that won't have any impact. The EPA secretary said, even with shutting down of coal, we won't see any true impact on any type of environmental or global warming issue. So what we're saying is the technology is not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
It won't have an impact, but what it will do is add hundreds of billions of dollars, billions in the B,
right,
cost, and it will artificially inflate our rate cost and force us to prematurely shut down a lot of power plants. And that's what you're seeing happening now. And we have a lot of friends on the Democrat and Republican side. We endorse on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
You never heard there was a Bill Clinton war on coal because it has nothing to do with the party. It's the regulations that are being in place right now that won't have the beneficial impact on the environmental side. But we'll have tremendous job loss. That's our biggest complaint.
Let me ask you this. Because I do a show on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock, the Marcellus Shale Hour.
Yep.
Obviously, with the findings of this gas, there are many that are suggesting that we're going to have enough gas to last us 100 years,
yes,
200 years. I had one expert say he's willing to confidently say upwards of 500 to 1,000 years at this point. It's really out there. Even if you didn't have the regulation, can coal compete with the natural gas that it seems as though that we have an abundant supply of right now? 4 years ago, we were looking at importing natural gas. Now we're looking at exporting it. Can coal compete head-to-head with natural gas?
Very much so. Very much so, because you look at what's the best use for natural gas and what's the best use for coal and what's the best use for nuclear, oil, renewables, wind, and sun.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned earlier, right now at roughly $2.50 an MCF. Natural gas is very low cost.
Right.
When it starts getting up to 3.5 MCF, it's pretty much even. So you can go either way if you're a power producer. You can go coal, you can go natural gas. The cost associated with it pretty much level. But once it gets beyond that 3.5 to the 4, then it starts to become much more expensive to use natural gas than coal. And all the experts, if the one you asked them, where do they think they will be in by the end of 2013? They believe that they'll be at least over 4. Because what we want to do is we want to have LNG running our fleets.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have CNG running our cars and non-fleet vehicles. We want to use natural gas for dealing with peak demand, which it's very good at. What coal is best at is continuous burn at a constant rate where you can manage it. It takes a while to get the coal up and running, but once it's up and running, it just hums along like a diesel engine.
Right.
Whereas natural gas can be peak on and off quickly. And so there is a role for all of them. And yes, I think there's a lot of synergy between the two of us. And the best way to show that is if you look at one of our largest company, CONSOL.
Yes.
It's natural gas and coal. It's
natural
CONSOL
gas
energy, not. So I there is great opportunities there to partner.
And even though there are struggles domestically for the coal industry, you guys have successfully found another market. Exports for coal are really big right now, aren't they?
Very much so. The world will need 55% more energy in the next 20 years than it does now, than it has right now.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because India, China are starting to see a growing middle class, and that middle class will be powered by coal. So that's one of our frustrations with our own administration here, and they're talking about CO2. Well, you can't unilaterally say, well, we're going to close a spigot on U.S. coal,
right,
while the rest of the world sees coal as their solution. I'm an environmental engineer. What I would recommend is we should actually be the leader in developing new technology, saying, you know, we have old plants. Let's put in this. We have the technology for the scrubbers. Let's put those in. Let's clean it up. We already have the best practices. Let's just build on that so that we can pass that on to our friends who are in India and China, and so that what they're doing is cleaner as well, because, you know, the globe is one big
– right.
Big ooh.
I only have about a minute and a half left, and I would love to talk to you a whole lot more. But people normally think of, you got the hunger rock, and then you light it and you burn it. But I've also heard about liquefying coal.
Yep.
And what role can that play moving forward?
That's one of the techniques where you can get a more efficient burn, less emissions. You capture more BTUs per the ton of coal, because as you make it finer, you have more surface reaction, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But we will only do that if the government gets out of the way and says, okay, you come up with better processes that can reduce your emissions in half, and we will applaud you, not right now try to stop you. And that's our challenge. Is no one's willing to invest if they believe that the administration won't even let them improve.
Interesting. Senator John Pippy is with us with the Pennsylvania Coal Alliance. Where do you see coal? Right now, you talked about the number of businesses, and where do you guys see the coal industry 5-10 years out?
Well, I think because of exports and because people are going to start, you know, seeing in their wallets and their checkbooks a significant increase in energy, I think coal's going to come back. As soon as the economy comes back and we start powering up our manufacturing and our industrial complex, they're going to need low-cost energy, and the best way to do that is to have coal. Natural gas will continue to play its role and support it, but it will also do a lot of the things that we had talked about before.
Senator John Pippy with us with the Pennsylvania Coal Alliance. He is the CEO. For people who are wanting to get more information about what it is that you do and the future of coal and the concerns that you've expressed tonight, what's the best way to get more information?
Just go to our website, pacoalalliance.com.
PACOALalliance.com.
Yep, and you can go on there and get all the information. We'll send you updates. If you have questions on technology, we're more than happy to provide answers.
Senator Pippy, great having you
Thanks
on.
Having
I would like to extend an invitation for you to come back on and talk even more about this if
sure.
we could.
I'd love to. Just give us a call.
Excellent. Senator John Pippy, the CEO of the Pennsylvania Coal Alliance, with us. It's Pittsburgh Works.